It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
So, a very simple question. After what went down this evening, do you think Joe Biden should participate in a second or third debate?
Should the next two debates go on as scheduled?
I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if this is the last presidential debate.
Should there be other debates?
Are we really going to repeat this? Are we going to have another two of these?
I think we have to hear from the Presidential Commission on Debates tomorrow. We can't do two more of these.
Why are we bothering with a discussion of the rules, of format, of time limits, of moderators at all, when we have just seen what is going to happen?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's how the media feels. They don't think Joe Biden and President Donald Trump should debate anymore. That's it. Enough. The American people should not hear from them because President Trump, according to them, interrupted, didn't follow the rules. And so you can't deal with a person like that, so Joe Biden should not be on the stage. But, of course, you suppose maybe, what do you think, maybe part of their motivation might be that they're concerned about their candidate, that he made it through on that debate stage, and they're afraid he might not make it through the next one. I just wonder if that's the motivation. We also are hearing that the committee that handles all these debates now kind of wants to change the rules because, you see, things got out of hand. And we can't have that. For instance, the moderators must be in control at all times. Their questions are supreme in their importance. And the people on the stage, the candidates, the actual people that one of them will be the president of the United States, the things they want to talk about and the things they want to express are much less important than the moderator's questions. Just ask Chris Wallace. He had to get his questions in. He had to. So he interrupted. Oh, I know. The storyline is that President Trump interrupted, but Chris Wallace interrupted President Trump. I wish there were a count. I wish I had a montage of that. I noticed that when I was kind of re-listening to some of these clips, Chris Wallace did not interrupt Joe Biden ever. He didn't rebuke him for interrupting the president. You think he didn't do that? I know that he did. In fact, let's see if we can find that clip this morning. One of the things that Chris did, and I made this point yesterday, was he was the attack dog. However, sir, he was the attack dog for the left. Chris, you know, is a registered Democrat. You know, I criticize him all the time, and for good reason, because he is not unbiased. I will never forget when he asked Michelle Bachmann something about, I don't know if he said the word idiot. Michelle Bachmann is a brilliant woman. She was a candidate for president. He had her on for an interview, and he asked her the most insulting question. That's what he always does with conservatives, so why did we think he would do anything less with Donald Trump? And this is my point. I'll make the point this way. When Chris Wallace needed to talk about, and we do need to talk about, the riots in the street, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the destruction of the chaos that we're finding on our streets. Instead, he chose to open that segment by, let's talk about racism. And he then went right away for Charlottesville, which happened, 3 years ago, and repeated the lies of the left about what actually happened there. It's very complex. And the narrative was that President Trump said there were some good people on all sides. And so he was viciously attacked for that, and that became the narrative. President Trump was talking about the people that came to protect the monuments, who didn't want them to be torn down. There was a whole bunch of people that day, a whole bunch of different interests. And so they chose to cherry pick and to choose out of that President Trump was a white supremacist, which is just absurd. You know, it was Joe Biden who spoke at the funeral of Robert Byrd, who was the, what, the Grand Poobah. I don't know if that's not the name, but the Grand Poobah, the Ku Klux Klan. Robert Byrd, good friend of Joe Biden. And he, but he's not a white supremacist, and Joe doesn't, did Joe condemn Robert Byrd, you know, on the stage? No, no, because that's different. So President, so Chris, instead of talking about Black Lives Matter, which he never uttered, he never talked about that, never brought it up, because, you know, his questions are supreme. And when the president started trying to talk about that stuff, he interrupted the president any number of times. In fact, let's listen to a little bit of that. I think, I'm not sure if this is the full clip, Adam, but let's play six and let's see what we got there. If this is a short clip or the long clip, let's listen.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
to
specifically
that,
do it?
Well, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
right wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a
FBI director.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa is an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious. That's what FBI director said.
Well, then you know what?
We're done, sir. We're moving on to the next. We're moving
on to the next. That's not an idea.
Everybody in your administration tells you the truth has a bad idea.
Can I tell you what?
You have no idea.
Antifa is a dangerous radical group.
All right, gentlemen, we're now moving on to the Trump and Biden records.
They'll overthrow you.
When a president, I'm going to ask a question.
Now, in retrospect, when you listen to that, do you feel a little differently about what happened with President Trump? See, Chris Wallace, here they are shouting at him, and Joe Biden interrupts and comes in, say it. Isn't that an interruption? That's just one example. But Chris Wallace didn't say anything about that because he was on Joe's team. And so they're trying, this reminded me very much of Black Lives Matter. Say your name. I wouldn't do that either. I would not, at the command of someone, say something. I don't think I would say anything at the command of someone. That's so offensive. Think about that. You know, and President, and Chris Wallace did not ask Joe Biden to condemn Black Lives Matter, did he? Did he? Nor would he allow a discussion of that. He cut them off. We're finished with that. It's the time for the next question. Yeah, well, why? Why wasn't there a discussion? Why didn't Chris Wallace ask about Black Lives Matter and their manifesto and Joe Biden's connection to that? And have you wondered why the streets are so quiet right now? All those things they were planning in Washington, D.C., in fact, they were planning another one at the White House on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. I saw the invitation to come and wreak havoc. I saw that, but I never heard anything about it. Do you think there's a reason why Black Lives Matter and Antifa are kind of quiet right now? You don't suppose it's because it doesn't play well in the press. You don't suppose it's because it might hurt Joe Biden's campaign, do you? Well, I guarantee you that is exactly the reason. Kamala Harris is out there supporting Black Lives Matter. Chris Wallace never mentioned it. I want to tell you something. I saw this headline. It's a Chris Wallace faces intense backlash, including from colleagues, over bias during debate. And I thought, well, yeah, about a few of them probably said a few tepid things. But I was shocked, and I'm going to stop just for a second and read to you what some of the things that were said. All right, so, of course, the media narrative is that President Trump was interrupting poor Joe Biden, interrupting him. Too aggressive. Interrupting Joe Biden. Nothing about Joe Biden. Did anyone watch Joe Biden? His smirk? His disdain? His disrespect? Did anyone hear him tell the president to shut up? He said more things than that don't come to mind this minute, but we'll come to them. So this is what colleagues of Chris Wallace had to say, I want you to hear this. Brian Kilmeade, why is Joe Biden allowed to interrupt, but real Donald Trump is not? Laura Ingraham, Biden seems to interrupt with impunity. Andy McCarthy, I love Chris Wallace, but he should get out of the way. Okay, but Andy goes on. He goes on to get more incriminating. Biden doesn't support the Green New Deal? Oh, Wallace got that out of him? No, Donald Trump did. Oh, well, did Wallace clarify what parts of the Green New Deal Biden is against? Nope, needed to move on. Andy McCarthy, Chris Wallace jumps in a second time when Biden is having trouble with Trump's questioning. Wallace, from Stephen Miller, Wallace laughing alongside of Biden isn't a good look. They started mocking President Trump together, and that was Greg Gutfield. Bill O'Reilly, good line from Trump. He tells Chris Wallace he's debating him, not Joe. And then Bill adds, Chris Wallace doesn't have the facts at his command about the Ukraine payments made by Biden's son that Trump brought up. Big mistake, Mr. Wallace. Oh, trust me. Chris knows the facts. He was protecting Biden. This is from James Woods, the actor. He has some great comments. Chris Wallace is shamelessly biased. It's a beautiful demonstration of fake news in action, and I'm actually glad it's happening because you can see it for yourself. Newsweek editor Josh Hammer, not a Trump fan, just an inexcusable effort tonight from Chris Wallace, and I say that as someone who's generally a fan of his. Federalist co-founder Sean Davis, Chris Wallace is now reading Biden's energy plan back to him to remind Biden what's in his plan. I have never, never seen anything like this from a moderator. I mentioned that to you yesterday. I'm pretty sure I did. I noticed that too. Chris was going to ask a question, and in his question, he spelled out the what was supposedly Biden's energy plan. He gave all the points and then asked Biden some comment, like the response that required, like, yes, no, I don't, I do. I wish I had the clip. I wish you could hear it, because he was helping Biden because he didn't think Biden could actually repeat his energy plan, which is true. He couldn't. He said he did not support the Green New Deal, but Biden's campaign website says he does support the Green New Deal. I mean, in retrospect, I was as disappointed as many of you because so much was riding on that debate. I felt like the president was not on his game. I thought he was upset and angry, and I understand why. I have been in a similar situation, not as president, not nearly as much pressure as he's experienced, but where everything's coming at me. I was on a debate stage, not debate. It was the Phil Donahue show a number of years ago, and I was sitting between Michael Newdow, who was the atheist from San Francisco, who at the time was very, very mainstream, very well known, and fighting the Ten Commandments being in any courts and properties, public properties, etc. And on the other side, I had Barry Lynn, who was the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Barry is just a real slime. He was the kind of person that came across, you know, as a gentleman, but he wasn't. Supposed to be a pastor, but completely undermining church and the separation of church and state was his platform, but really anti-God and anti-church was his platform. So I sat between the two of them, and Phil Donahue was just nasty, and an audience that just hated me. It was very interesting. I was like just a few feet away from them in this audience in New York, and I can just tell you that when you've got all of that coming at you, it's really easy to criticize a person in that position. Oh, he should have said this. He should have done that. She should have not done that. She shouldn't have been so hostile. She should have been sweeter, kinder. You fill in the blanks. But you just have to understand the kind of pressure that this president is under. And that's part of the picture of understanding what happened there. I've got so many things to tell you, I didn't get to talk with you much yesterday. I would love to talk to you about what you're seeing. I'm going to give you a few more bits of information when we come on the other side of the break, some things that you need to know about. But then I'm going to open the phone lines so that we can talk about just whatever you want to talk about. Maybe the Comey testimony yesterday before the Senate. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What happens when an abortion-minded woman hears her baby's heartbeat on an ultrasound? Here's how a nurse describes the power of an ultrasound.
when she saw the picture of her baby on ultrasound and saw that beating heart, it was a defining moment that just broke her. And she said, I just can't allow this baby to be killed.
By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in her womb, she'll choose life 80% of the time.
I cannot tell you how many times a baby's life is saved through ultrasound. It's just an incredible tool.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. A fourth grader was suspended from school because he had a BB gun in his room during an online class. Kay Maury Harrison is a student at Woodmere Elementary School in Louisiana. The teacher said it was a full-sized rifle. It was, in fact, a BB gun. The school district argues that during online classes, the child's bedroom becomes school property. They were originally going to expel the child, but ultimately he was suspended 2 weeks. Home suspension. You really can't make this stuff up, folks. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry says the school violated multiple state and federal laws, called it government overreach. The Attorney General says it's absurd to think a student's home becomes school property because of a Zoom class. Not to mention that a full-grown adult teacher can't tell the difference between a rifle and a BB gun. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
to
specifically
do, that, but
do it?
Well, I,
go
would
ahead,
say, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you, what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see
peace.
Well,
then do it, sir.
Say it. Do it. Say it.
You want to call him? What do you want to call them? Give me a name. Give me a
white
name.
White supremacists and right
like me to condemn?
White
Proud
supremacists
Boys.
And right
Proud Boys.
Boys,
stand back and stand by.
All right, so that was the ad, right? You guys, I couldn't. That sounded like the live feed from the debate, but maybe it was superimposed over Joe Biden. Vote for Joe Biden. That was the ad, right? Clip 10. All right, no answer. So, okay, thank you. So Rittenhouse was featured in that. Now, that's the kid that was up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You noticed in the debate, Joe Biden mentioned Kenosha, like white supremacism in Kenosha. Well, I didn't see anyone. I was thinking about that. Where were the white supremacists in Kenosha? It was Black Lives Matter tearing up the town. And so it had to be Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, Kyle is that 17-year-old kid with the gun strapped to him who came from, he came from just across the border in Illinois, just a few miles away. And he came to help protect some of the businesses. He has this sterling record. He's just like this, you see him all night through the crowd, like administering first aid, trying to help people. And he's come to protect a particular business because that car dealership had been, you know, their cars had just been destroyed and the dealership had been burned. It was amazing. And so then the as you see in the videos, and you'll hear more about this because he'll be on trial. He ended up killing three members of the Antifa Black Lives Matter crowd there. But if you see the videos, you see that they chased him and they tried to kill him. And it was self-defense. And that's why Lynn Wood, who represented the young men in Covington High School and won that big award of slander against Washington Post and CNN, has come to defend Kyle. So what's happening now is because Joe Biden put Kyle's picture in that ad you just heard. As a white supremacist, they're coming after Joe Biden and his campaign, accusing them of slander and libel. So I just think that's very interesting, and I think it's well-deserved, for heaven's sake. This is the problem. They so easily sling these arrows and try to destroy people over the whole issue of racism. And so real racism, the real problem of people's hearts being hating people, disliking, thinking less of people because of their race, that is even not even in the picture anymore, because we're talking about the way you feel about health care, the way you feel about this and that. Everything's a litmus test for racism. And it's damning, because if you get labeled as a racist, it's just damning for you in your future. So here's this kid, 17 years old, and he's supposed to be a white supremacist, but it's a lie. He's not a white supremacist. And so they're going to sue, and I'm glad they are. All right, one other thing that happened yesterday, as you know, James Comey testified before the Senate, I believe it was the Judiciary Committee. And this is just a montage of, you know, how he responded, because you should hear how the former FBI director responded when he was asked some very difficult questions. This is clip four.
Did Mr. Page deny knowing people that you accuse him of having contact with?
I don't remember. That's about all I recall. I don't remember. I don't remember learning anything additional about Steele's sources. Not that I recall, no. I don't remember Bruce or ever briefing me. I don't recall that.
So do you recall?
I do not.
Do you recall?
I do not. I don't remember any discussion. I don't remember using that word, but I don't remember using that word. I don't remember ever being informed. I don't recall being informed of that.
Did you ask any questions or do any due diligence on this at all?
I don't remember anything about the facts that have been revealed recently about the subsource. I don't remember the exact words, but something similar.
That doesn't
ring bells with me.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty stunning thing. It didn't ring a bell.
Which I'm sure you remember.
I don't remember the exact words. I don't remember whether I knew the Democratic Party. I don't know for sure. I don't know. I don't think I knew before. I remember reading the footnote. I don't know whether I asked. I don't know what that refers to. As I said earlier, that does not ring any bells with me when I read that. I don't remember it. I don't remember receiving anything that's described in that letter.
You know, Mr. Comey, I call that selective memory.
Yeah, so those were his responses. It's just disgraceful. Disgraceful. Former FBI director. No wonder the FBI has taken such a hit in their reputation. And how is it that we took so long to figure this out about James Comey, Mr. 7 feet tall, however tall he is, you know, Mr. Smile, good looking, handsome, aw shucks, kind of nice guy, smooth, a liar, a complete disgrace to the FBI, a disgrace to this nation. And let me just tell you a little bit more about what they ask him so you know what he's responding to. Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the committee, got right to the point, asked him what efforts the FBI made to verify that dossier, the one they used to destroy President Trump. They tried to. Over and over. Comey's response, I don't know. Graham asked what Comey knew about former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith. He's the one that pleaded guilty because he altered evidence on Carter Page. We knew Carter Page was an asset. He was like a source for, I think it was the CIA. And Kleinsmith, the FBI agent under Comey, altered it so that no one knew that, so that the FISA report would go on in the investigation of Page. It was just disgraceful. It's things that never have happened in this country before, to my knowledge. So this is Comey's response. The lawyer that pleaded guilty, Kevin Kleinsmith, this is what Comey said. I know nothing of Mr. Kleinsmith. So when asked about the warrant, he was pushed on that. Comey was, well, you signed the warrant. You signed the warrant on Carter Smith. You're responsible. Comey said, no, his answer was basically, well, I didn't read the evidence, though. I don't have to read it. I don't know. I mean, I assume that when the agent brings it to me, it's true. And so, you know, I signed it, but that doesn't mean anything. I really didn't read it. So then he's asked, well, who's responsible then? Who's responsible if it isn't you? If that means nothing, if your signature means nothing, then who's responsible? He says, I don't know. I don't know. So, and then I have to make sure I tell you this. There's so much to the hearing. Just yesterday, the day of the debate, John Ratcliffe declassified several documents. And one of them was, I'll just give it to you my own words. I believe it was the State Department that sent a memo to James Comey and also to, might have been McCabe, saying that they believe that Hillary Clinton was the one who crafted the Russian collusion lie in order to cover up for her own illegal, completely dangerous establishment of a private email server. Dangerous in terms of the national security implications, dangerous for all people in government who are corresponding with her as Secretary of State, that she concocted this whole Russia story to blame Trump for his collusion with Russia and for that then hacking of the DNC. Now, that's, listen, I've been saying, I said for a long time, that this much of this sounded like Hillary Clinton to me. I've been watching her for years, you know that. This is like, it has her brand of lying all over it. It's the same brand of like the Benghazi attack on 9/11 happened because of a video that was produced by a California Muslim. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his nationality. It was his fault. This video so offended them that they just were outraged, and they went and they killed all these people in the annex in Benghazi because of a video. Well, that was a lie. It was Hillary Clinton who made that lie up. This is vintage Hillary Clinton. And so they asked the FBI to investigate. They sent these memos. It was James Comey and Peter Strzok, and asked them to investigate. And so he's asked, so here you have to hear Comey's response. You don't remember getting an investigatory lead from the intelligence community? And this is the one we're talking about. September 7, 2016, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral to James Comey and Strzok regarding Clinton's approval of a plan about Trump as a means of distraction, Graham asked Comey Wednesday. That doesn't ring any bells with me, Comey replied. So, you see, it's so disturbing. You run out of words. It's just so disturbing. And people then now are worried that Trump was rude in the debate, that he interrupted. That's horrible. The world is going to end. Well, the world is going to end because the guy that's running up there, standing on the stage, has very, very dangerous policies that will put this nation in jeopardy. He does want to reimagine police, reimagine them. That's a nice word for defunding. You're sending social workers instead of police out on the streets. We're seeing how that works. Aren't we seeing that? We know that Biden, many of the people around Joe Biden are actually supporters of Black Lives Matter. Kamala Harris is a supporter of Black Lives Matter. We have a clip of her talking about how wonderful they are. We have dangerous things happening. I guess my top line comment to all of you is, please don't get distracted by style or things you're offended by. Yeah, we don't like it. We'd like for things to be perfect. I would like for myself to be perfect. I would like for you to be perfect. But we have to think the big picture. Please think the big picture. All right, I've said enough, and I do want to talk to you. So let's go to Michael, first up in Texas. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Hello, Sandy?
Yes, you're
good
on.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome.
How are you?
Hey, you know, I've listened to your show. I've listened to your show for a good number of years and never called in, but you got me with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing.
Okay, good.
You know, for a long time, the Proud Boys and they called Boogaloo Boys, for a long time, they weren't labeled white supremacists. They were, a lot of them are veterans. A lot of them are just what we would call Minutemen. See, I'm a historian,
And when you look at the term Minuteman, it's just somebody who stands ready, somebody who stands with their community, who if their community was called to get together and protect their little community or their neighborhood or whatever, they were ready to grab their rifle and go to work. And it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with, we're just your average citizens. We're not military. We're just civilians that are ready to protect our life and land. And they've taken that term and turned it into something negative and racist. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah, Michael, I
see.
That's
all I wanted to say.
No, stay with me for a second, because that's kind of the way I see it, too. The president was, who was it? I don't know if it was Chris Wallace or Joe Biden that brought up the Proud Boys, throwing that at the president. And the president's kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I was thinking to myself, well, what do I know about the Proud Boys? I couldn't up on the stage like immediately. I know they've been brushed with white supremacism, but I have not seen that either. And because people are accused of racism for such slight things, like this Kyle. Kyle is not a racist. Yeah. He's not a white supremacist. He's not even affiliated, as far as I know, with any particular group. He's a high school student who tried to help clean up his high school when the protesters came in and painted all over it. He's a kid that took a medical bag and went into the crowd and tried to help people that were hurt. That's who Kyle Rittenhouse is. But he's called a racist because he fits their prototype. And so I'm with you, Michael. I don't know anything about Proud Boys. I don't know enough about them to exonerate them, and I don't know enough about them to condemn them. And the fact that they are being condemned the way they are makes me more inclined to believe. I think the whole thing about Proud Boys, doesn't that come from the denigration of white men in the society? Isn't that kind of the origin of that? Do you know of that title?
In a way, it does kind of go with that. However, what it was originally, it was a group of guys that had gotten out of law enforcement and military back in the 1960s, and the whole Boogaloo Boy thing was the one that started it. And then we started with the Proud Boys, but it started with Boogaloo Boys. Those are just guys that maybe are ex-law enforcement or ex-military, and they would dress like your average everyday citizen. And in the 60s, they'd put on a Hawaiian t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans. But underneath that t-shirt, they would have a revolver ready just in case they saw a bank robbery happen. Today, you would consider them the people who go out and get a concealed handgun license.
People are
demonized now.
Yeah.
And we're not treated like average citizens. They treat us like Hitler's brown shirts.
Yeah,
but it's
I know.
The other side. They call us the fascists. And it's a complete role reversal from what actually happened historically.
You know what, Michael? It sounds like the group in New York City. Oh, I can't think of the guy's name. I interviewed him years ago. They wear that red berets and they go out. They were on the street, the subways in New York, protecting people. Remember the volunteers? Curtis Lewa.
Yeah.
Curtis Lewa, I think his name is. It's kind of the same idea as that. That's my understanding too. All right, so maybe people will listening and say,
It is. It is just like that, except we stay undercover. We're just your average American citizen. But just like what happened in the Revolutionary War, be ready any minute, man, to defend your life and land. And a minute man was someone who had the rifle ready, could grab their rifle and their powder horn and go out and defend their country.
Yeah.
And that's all the Proud Boys are, but they've turned us into white supremacists because we go against everything they stand for.
Yeah. Well, and now you didn't know you had a new member, Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm kidding. Well, he's a proud American. And isn't it amazing how things have become so twisted and people just don't know how to think about this stuff, Michael. And so I appreciate your call. It's very interesting to hear from you and I do appreciate you listening. So we're not done. We're going to talk some more. Thanks for calling. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. So there you have it. Them some fighting words, right? So, Tim Scott was upset with President Trump, the black senator from South Carolina, because he did not condemn the Proud Boys. But so the president was asking a presser yesterday about how he felt about them. And so we're going to play that when we return, and you can hear his comments on that. So, all right, stay tuned. Again, the phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
This week on Truth for Life, our study called Fix Our Eyes on Jesus culminates with a message on the true meaning of faith and the perseverance of the saints. Thursday, our attention turns to a series for pastors and congregants alike. Listen this week to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. We live in an era currently where spirituality is in vogue. Christ following is not. Some even claim to love Jesus while simultaneously rebelling against his word and encouraging others to rebel similarly. But Jesus said it himself, "If you love me, you will obey me. Whoever does not love me does not obey my words." Make no mistake about it, to love Jesus is to obey him. You cannot love Jesus and disobey him. If you're living in open rebellion against Jesus' word, you're not following Jesus as he's revealed himself in Scripture. You're following a God you've created.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. This week's presidential debate was entertaining, if you like cage fighting, but not particularly illuminating. The format was horrible, a format that encouraged both Biden and Trump to interrupt each other and talk over each other. Chris Wallace was clearly in Biden's corner, so Trump was debating two opponents, not just one. Wallace interrupted Trump repeatedly, but rarely, if ever, interrupted Biden. Trump was clearly the alpha male in the room, so for Americans looking for strong, assertive leadership in a president, Trump helped himself. I doubt, however, that the debate helped anyone whose mind was not already made up. Biden advisors are encouraging him to refuse to debate Trump again, a sure sign that they think Biden lost. I believe we have likely seen our last presidential debate for the year.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 71 years ago today, the Chinese Communist Party established the most monstrous government ever. Largely lost to memory is the fact that it accomplished this feat with indispensable help from communist operatives and fellow travelers inside another government, ours. In the intervening 7 decades, a regime that went on to murder 100 million of its own people and those of neighboring nations it conquered has become vastly more dangerous to the rest of the world, which it explicitly seeks to dominate. Once again, powerful American political and corporate forces have enabled this frightening transformation, among other things, by underwriting it. Today's terrible anniversary will be marked around the world by representatives of the PRC's captive nations, those already enslaved and others now falling prey to its empire-building Belt and Road Initiative. We must stand with them and against the CCP. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I don't know who the Proud Boys are. I mean, you'll have to give me a definition because I really don't know who they are. I can only say they have to stand down, let law enforcement do their work. Law enforcement will do the work more and more. As people see how bad this radical liberal Democrat movement is and how weak, the law enforcement's going to come back stronger and stronger. But again, I don't know who Proud Boys are, but whoever they are, they have to stand down, let law enforcement do their work.
So, Mr. President, in this speech, you said stand by. That's my first question.
Just stand by. Look, law enforcement will do their work. They're going to stand down. They have to stand down. Everybody. They have to stand, whatever group you're talking about, let law enforcement do the work. Now, Antifa is a real problem because the problem is on the left. And Biden refuses to talk about it. He refuses to issue the words law and order. You saw that last night when he choked up. He can't say the words because he'll lose the rest of the left. So he's got to condemn Antifa. Antifa is a very bad group.
So, yeah. Mr. President, let me follow up. White supremacists, they clearly love you and support you. Do you welcome them?
I want law and order to be a very important part. It's a very important part of my campaign. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is law enforcement has the police have to take care. And they should stop defunding the police like they've done in New York. Like they've done in New York. I just told you.
But you denounce them. You denounce
I've always denounced any form of any of that you have to denounce. But I also, Joe Biden has to say something about Antifa. It's not a philosophy. These are people that hit people over the head with baseball bats. He's got to come out and he's got to be strong and he's got to condemn Antifa. And it's very important that he does it.
White supremacists love you, Mr. President. Do you denounce them? White supremacists love you. See, this is the way the game is played. And that's, if you wonder why the president responds the way he does, I think he was exasperated Tuesday night. And I think it weakens him, is when he talks about Joe Biden's intellect. I think Joe Biden isn't very smart. I think the records show that. And he has bragged about how he's first in his class in so many different places when he was not. He was close to the bottom. I don't think, and I've watched him operate through the years, I don't think he's very bright. But I don't think that's something the president should major on. Because heaven knows there are enough issues. There are enough dangerous issues. And the president was all over those. If people only understood what he was saying in that debate, and understanding what was actually happening, they would have a different view about it, I think. All right, so let's go back to the phone lines because I want to know what you think. Let's go to Eric in Arkansas. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Hey, I'm the guy that told you about DuckDuckGo a long time ago. I was wondering if you knew about an internal memo that we intercepted from Antifa telling all the Antifa supporters to dress up as Trump supporters on Election Day and cause havoc. Have you heard anything like that?
Yes, I actually saw it. I saw all their instructions about, I just one of the billion things I didn't get to share on this microphone. But yes, I have seen it, Eric. And that is, I don't know, you know, I find it interesting right now that they are not out there. Unless I've missed something. I mean, I'm not hearing anything about them right now. And I know they stood down for the White House siege. D.C. is quiet right now. They did not show up at the Supreme Court steps at 2:00 on Sunday. As far as I know, there was nothing. And so what's that all about? I could tell you what one thing that's all about. All hell is going to break loose if Donald Trump wins. And I guess they have to, rest and renew their strength. It's despicable, Eric, what's happening. They tell them how to dress. They tell them what to bring. You're right about that. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before I say goodbye to
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm an old retired Marine, and I guarantee you there's a ton of military members that are all of us. I mean, we on our oath of allegiance is to the Constitution and to all enemies, foreign domestic, we need to stand up, and we are all Minutemen. All of us, retired military, all the former military, we're all ready for whatever happens.
Yeah, I hear you, Eric. Oh, listen, did you say Marine?
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what? We just visited, I'm sorry, I'm going to take a little detour, visited the Marine Corps Museum yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I'd never been there before. It's just south of D.C. It's just so wonderful. And all I could say is hoo-ah. Really, Eric, I don't know if you've been, but it is just phenomenal.
Hoorah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, hoorah. All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks so much. All right. Let's go to Linda in Tennessee. Good morning, Linda.
Yes. We are seeing right now some of the very things that our founding fathers tried to prevent. They came here hundreds of years ago to get away from things that they didn't want and drew up our Constitution. One thing that is being strongly overlooked right now, and we're seeing the product of it, is the whole term of natural born. And there's references several places to citizen, but in Article 2, Section 1, people are not looking at the whole sentence. It says, to be eligible for president, one must be a natural born, and then it says, or a citizen, and the rest of the sentence is, or a citizen at the time of drawing of this Constitution. And they wanted the people to be, have the characteristics of an American person for America, love America, flags, everything we have. And we're seeing now it's being changed to, well, they are a citizen if they're born on American soil. Well, that is the way it's been accepted for the last 2 years, and they are citizens, they are citizens. But we're seeing now that means that everybody born to these people that are out there destroying America right now have a child born on American soil. That leaves it open for them to become president. We do not need to set a precedent of having that. Now, Kamala Harris is not a natural-born citizen. Her parents were Jamaican and East Indian. They came here with the, her father was the school. He actually owned, her family actually owned slaves. They went on, and as I understand it, her parents became citizens in 2004. The whole meaning of a natural-born is they know American, they love America, respect our laws, assimilate with us. People come here and are legally becoming American citizens.
Right. I hear you, Linda. We you know, we had this discussion, you know, when Barack Obama was running for president, and you bring up a good point. I think we Kamala Harris is something we've not talked about her enough yet. And I plan to change that. I plan to be talking about her a lot because I think she's a very dangerous person, apart from what you are assessing right now about her just love for the country. But thanks for bringing that to our attention and at least starting us to think about that. Let's go to Jennifer in Louisiana. Good morning, Jennifer. Good morning, Jennifer. Hello? Hello, Jennifer. Testing once, going twice. Okay, let's go to Merrill in Texas. Good morning, Merrill.
Hi, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to Abraham Hamilton yesterday, and he played a clip of Chris Wallace grilling the president at a town hall in 2016 with the same question, would you denounce white supremacy? And the president denounced every single KKK, Antifa, BLM, everything. This was a clip that he played. How many times does the president have to denounce white supremacy?
Well, I guess forever. I guess every day when he gets up. I guess every time he gives a speech. I guess every 30 seconds when he gives a speech. It's when is it enough? You're right. When is it enough? And I would just say, I was trying to find this. I know that the president issued an order a couple of weeks ago declaring Antifa and the Ku Klux Klan as terrorist organizations. I just FYI, I thought I would mention that. And I would just also repeat that Joe Biden, you know, gave the eulogy for Robert Byrd, the former grand poobah of the Ku Klux Klan. He gave the eulogy at his funeral. Why isn't Joe Biden having to, you know, criticize? He should criticize his friend in the Senate who was part of the KKK. He was a real racist, documented. But that's not happening. Merle, you had more to say. You want to finish your point?
Yes. I have so much. I am so angry at the disrespect at our president. It is just mind-boggling. Why didn't Chris Wallace grill Joe Biden on Antifa? Why didn't he grill him on BLM? How come his running mate is avowing BLM? Oh, they're a great organization. They're the ones who are bringing everything to light. How come Chris Wallace didn't have the decency, the courtesy to grill him? And it was so annoying that the president had to be debating Chris Wallace more than he ever debated Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And he was being cut up all the time.
Yeah. And the scary thing is to me is that Chris Wallace will be probably the most friendly of the debaters. And if they change the debate rules, which they're talking about doing, they want the ability to cut off the president's mic. And they're also talking about going to a split screen so that when someone is speaking, you cannot see the other person's face. Now, do you remember, wow, Meryl, remember watching Joe Biden's face when President Trump was speaking, his smirking, his like just nobody talks about that.
And calling the president names. You're a clown. You're a liar.
Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. A few classy things but very presidential in the way he said it, I guess. But the point is just is the visual. So now they're talking about not showing the other person's face while one person is speaking. They're doing that to help Joe Biden because his face was horrible in that debate. But Meryl, I could talk to you forever, but I got to get some more people in here. Thanks for your comments. I really appreciate them. Let's go to Monty. Good morning, Monty in Virginia. How are you?
Sandy, you are absolutely my favorite talk show host, and I went back to the Sandra Day Naked Dave in Chicago, who asked me to join the radio. But just to go a quick point, we have been so blessed. You know, William Fowler said that in his book, many books that he's written.
Hey, Monty, we're having trouble hearing you. I don't know if you can do anything to change the sound where you are, but we can't quite make out what you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay.
Well, I'm on the front of my hill because I can't even get the internet right. But anyway, if you can hear what I'm saying,
yeah.
William Federer goes back to the history when you have to swear allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ to even run for public office. But if you can't be a moderator, take two people versed in debates, one from the Republican side, one from the Democratic side. The mics can be cut off so that the craziness doesn't get overlapped by each one that's debating. And you go back to, Damsel Washington, the great debaters. But my point is, let them come out like boys. If they want to be a clown, come out like boys in a costume. Of course, Donald Trump would be Superman, and maybe Joe Biden could be Pee Wee Herman or someone that is ridiculous to Urkel. And you know, it's respectful. I really feel deeply sorry for Joe Biden. I'm 72. I would never want my family to put me through something like he's going through.
Oh, I know that. I know. It is disgraceful what they are allowing him to go through. I think that's absolutely true, Monty. Thank you. Such good points. I got to get to Fletcher in Mississippi. Good morning, Fletcher.
Hey, good morning. First of all, God bless all you wonderful people at AFR and AFA. I have the numbers of the time they were both interrupted. So here we go.
Okay.
Wallace interrupted Biden 18 times. He interrupted, Trump interrupted him 49 times for a total of 67 times. Biden was the first one to interrupt in the debate. He did it in the second set of questions. Next, Biden interrupted Trump 71 times. Wallace interrupted Trump 74 times for a total of 145. There's your numbers.
Thank you, Fletcher. Where did you get that?
I got it out of an article in one of the papers or something this morning.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, you know, that quantifies things. And it is good to quantify as best we can. Fletcher, that's great. Thanks. Good way to end our discussion. Thank you so much. All right. Well, listen, we have our work cut out for us. I guess the main thing I would, again, encourage you to think of the big picture. You're not going to like, this is gladiator sport. This is blood sport. And it's not going to be pretty. So it's not for the faint of heart. So, get your courage. And here we go. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.